Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Blessed be the Lord.
I will bless the Lord at all times with praise ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord, who will hear the cry of the poor.
The Lord
to the Catholic Defender Radio Network. Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of her appearances somewhere around the world, some century, starting in 40 AD and going up to the present day. That's right. That's a lot. Well, they've tracked almost 2,700 documented appearances in 2,000 years. So that's more than one per year. And that may sound like a lot, but hey, we didn't plan on this. She's showing up and we're documenting where and when and what's going on. So since many people have no idea that this is going on, trust me, millions of people do know, but so many people still don't know that this is going on. Our chosen mission here is to bring you the best information, share it with you, and discuss it. And hopefully it will be educational, inspirational, and something entirely different in your day. We appreciate the opportunity to come to you and to bring you this information. And, you know, the church takes an average of 53 years, an average, to approve officially. But they also aren't always condemning or saying certain things which aren't approved are bad. They're just not having decided yet or haven't taken the time or whatever. I mean, one apparition was approved within 1 month and another one 346 years. Go figure. So, you know, just it's a matter of, you know, their choice and what they look for and maybe how eager they are to approve it or maybe just wait and see for a long time. But in any case, we like to bring you information and let you decide what you think. We certainly have many approved apparitions and we try to bring you ones that are either in the approval process or have been approved. We don't bring you any that are condemned. That's pointless. There's good reasons for that, so you won't hear those on this show. And there's, you know, not that many that get condemned. I mean, sometimes they just don't know what to think about certain things that go on. Anyway, so we take great interest in seeing what has happened and where it's happened and how it comes to pass and what message or importance might be for that appearance in that area at that time. And tonight we'll return to the 1960s in Italy to a place called San Damiano. And last week we had a very interesting story there. And tonight we will go over many of the messages that came from that story. And I'll recap that story in just a minute. At this point, we'll bring on my co-host who is here this week. Yay, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you tonight, Donald?
Hey, John. And I was just listening to your monologue. And some things, they look at the message of the, or they look at the individuals, you know, the sanctity of them. Like, you know, for example, like Lourdes, you know, St. Bernadette Subaru, for example, or like at Fatima, the three children of Fatima. They investigate all these things. The messages are obviously very important in there, and also the reported miracles. All the, there's so many things that go into it. And one of the challenges to some of this and why sometimes we may, they're slow in making a decision is sometimes the messages could be because of the variation or differences in language barriers and things of that nature. And so they want to be certain on these things. So sometimes there are language barriers, and we might get into a couple of those tonight there, John.
Yeah, that's so true. We've caught that before where one word translated differently can take a whole different meaning that kind of gets our attention. But, you know, we look at the overall impact and effect and what the, most of the messages are about. And every now and then we'll find one that's quirky in some way. But I usually attribute that to probably a translation issue because it doesn't necessarily take away from all the others. But anyway, we'll cover that whenever we come across it tonight. let's see. Mike's here tonight.
Yeah, Mike is here from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, today is both a bitter, sad day at Deeper Truth, and it's also a happy day. The reason for that, if any of you who have been longtime listeners to this program, you probably remember Judy L. Ciator, who received her poems from the Lord and shared them with us here. Today is her birthday. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if she's sitting there in heaven at the Master Receiver and listening to us right now. And she probably, if I know Judy, she probably invited Mary to sit along with us. So Our Lady may be listening. That means be on your best behavior. Mother's watching. Judy had a poem that the Lord gave her when she was very active in the pro-life movement. And this is the poem that she read outside of a Beaumont, Texas abortion clinic the day it closed down.
Amazing grace bestowed to us from Christ, our sovereign King. We bow our heads in praise and thanks, our voices raised to sing, to worship you, to shout your name from rooftops way up high. We thank thee, Lord, for this new day, for here no child shall die.
Happy birthday, Judy. Judy was responsible for bringing me back to the Catholic faith and introducing me to Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender.
Such a beautiful moment. Beautiful to hear her voice. And she was so much a part of this program for years. It was such a treasure. But I always said that when she went to heaven, she was dancing and singing the whole way. She is having a great time there, I'm sure. All right. Well, last week, we began this story in San Damiano, Italy, with Mother Rosa. And just a real quick recap, she had gotten really ill, severely ill, with incurable tumors and was going to die. And then this beautiful young lady just shows up at her house and kind of asks some very vague questions, but obviously seems to know more, and eventually talks about drinking this drink with a little bit of the dirt from the Holy Land and some olive leaves, I believe, and blessed candle bits. It's real interesting, and had Rosa drink it. And then she told her to drink at the time of 5 a.m. because that's when Padre Pio's mass in a town nearby would begin. So Rosa did that, and when the lady returned, she touched her, and Rosa was suddenly healed from all of her illnesses. So Rosa basically wanted to go meet with Padre Pio, and when she went over there, guess who was just standing in front of his church? That same young, beautiful lady. Interesting. Well, when she met Padre Pio and dealt with him, he said that she must return to her home because the Virgin Mary was going to have a special mission for her. Now, when Padre Pio says something, I'm going to listen. He is so connected with our Lord and so holy in so many ways, just an amazing saint. So if he tells you to go home, the Virgin Mary is coming for it with a mission, I would be listening. Of course, I think she already had a visit from her in somewhat of a disguise there with this beautiful young lady who just suddenly makes sure that she gets healed from all these incurable tumors that she had, inoperable and incurable. So anyway, she returns to her home, and one of the first signs that she gets is a pear tree blooming in the winter. And we talked last week about how that reminded us of Guadalupe with the winter roses blooming on the barren wintry hillside in December. And here Rosa has a pear tree blooming in the winter months, which was unique indeed. Also the smell of roses. And then as the Virgin Mary did come to be with her, and start giving her messages and different things. Mary said that she would give her signs. There would be signs so that other people could believe that all this was real and going on. And at that point, the sun started spinning in the sky. And then there were, it was classic, just like Fatima, with the sun going dim and beams of colored lights coming out and the dancing about. And thousands of people saw this, not just her, but thousands witnessed. And many people came from other countries and all around to see these events. And it happened several times, and they had other images in the sky. And then people were being healed from deafness and blindness and injuries. And so you had miracles, healings, and signs in the sky. And when Mother Rosa would go into trance, you couldn't disturb her. She would be just unable to see people around her. So classic visionary experience. And in classic,
you know, John,
supernatural signs. Huh?
It's what? Very interesting that the lady had her had this Miss Rosa to drink some something, you know, that had something to do with the earth of did you say that was from Holy Land or something of that nature? What was that you said?
I'll read that passage too directly. Let's see here. Just about there. Let's see. Okay, here we go. The mysterious visitor instructed Rosa's aunt, Adele, to get a glass of water, to which the visitor, beautiful young lady, added 3 grams of earth from the Holy Land, 3 dried olive leaves, and a small portion of a blessed candle, and instructed Rosa to drink this at 5 a.m. the next morning, coinciding with the beginning of Padre Pio's Mass. And and the miraculous cure took place on that day. So, yeah, what do you think of that?
Well, this is kind of, when I heard this, I couldn't help but think of, you know, this is what Elisha, have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. So I see that as very interesting.
That is, yes. Yeah, very interesting. So that's why I said this story last week was very interesting. I covered it the whole hour in about 5 minutes there, but a lot of interesting parts. And again, connected with Padre Pio. And then for Padre Pio to say, you know, that this was real and she should go home and wait for Mary to appear because she's going to have a mission. And also, I left out this detail, several cousins of Sister Lucia were some of the first to show up when people started coming for the miracles, and there was no way anything had been advertised or told about publicly, really, yet, for them to come all the way from Portugal to see this. And so that's another example of Sister Lucia knowing stuff, and you know from whom, knowing stuff and having her cousins go visit the place. So there's some interesting supernatural communications going on with this story.
You know, John,
so any other
one thing that
yes.
Just one thing that it's interesting that you meant about Sister Lucia, because so much of what I have seen in my just, you know, looking about the messages given by Blessed Mary and San Damiano, much of it is very closely resembling Fatima. So I thought that that was very interesting.
And
so and
the very first
message.
Yeah, and here is a good example. The first message I have here, February 11th, 1967, Mary says to Rosa, "Say the rosary often. Here at my feet, promise to say the rosary. I promise you the glory of heaven. Go often to receive Jesus." And right away on June 2nd, a similar one, use your prayers and the Holy Rosary, which is such a powerful weapon, my children. Say the rosary and leave all other works, which are so useless. The important thing is to save the world. So two messages,
John,
right off the bat there. Yeah.
John, just based on what you're saying so far, it's just contained in the 15 promises that our Lord and our Lady gives for praying the rosary. Right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And she repeats it again on June 30th, 1967. Your Heavenly Father loves you and wants to be loved with the recitation of the Holy Rosary. The rosary is the most available weapon you have to save yourselves. Mothers, get your children to pray. And again on March 22nd, make holy hours and say the rosary a lot, because it is a most powerful weapon for salvation. So see right there, the first four or five messages all about praying the rosary. And you're right, just like the like Fatima. What do you think of that, Mike?
Well,
I find that quite interesting. when you go back, let me go back up to this. It says on June 2nd, she said, say the rosary and leave all other works, which are so useless. Well, which works is she talking about?
Well, I would think like
if she's talking about something that, if she's talking about other practices that the church was doing at that time, and now she's calling them useless. What's she calling? What is she calling useless?
Well, we don't know, but my instant reaction was the daily jobs and things that we think are so important. I mean, what we spend so much time doing, usually.
In other words, the pursuit of secular.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that's the way I look at that too.
That makes sense.
Number three of the three of the 15 promises that that our Lord and our Lady gives us to pray the rosary, for praying the rosary, number three, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. Oh, I mean, it looks like Our Lady is knocking it out over there. And just to let you know, we also have, Kathy from Bourbon, Missouri. How you doing, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Hi, Mike. Hi, Don. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Doing good.
Hello.
Outstanding. And we got Doc from Tennessee. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing great.
I think I'm blessed to be here. I was dealing with a bunch of stuff, and I looked up, and it was, you know, just happened to look at the clock, and it was time to get it on the air, and got on. Did hear some rather concerning noises, but I'm thinking I'm pretty safe
here.
So, but you know, yeah, I heard a gunshot, and then I heard a whole bunch of sirens. You know, but you know, I mean, that's the nature of living in a city. I did hear the sirens rather quickly after the gunshot, which was a good thing. But, you know, when we talk about the rosary, you know, I sit out here, I buy a little campfire. I'm very exposed. And, you know, I just gave you all a little quick synopsis of what's going on around me. But I pray the rosary every day with my family. I mean, I don't want to call it arrogance because it's not. I feel humbled by it, but I feel protected. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I broke my back. I should have been paralyzed or killed, and I wasn't. I'm up walking around. I'm going to therapy, yes, but they're telling me I'm proceeding faster than I should. Now, I don't know if it's because I'm using my this contraption I invented for that, but I do. I feel protected and I feel blessed, and I think it has a lot to do with the prayers I say. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it because I flat out don't deserve it. I was good person coming up.
And you can wiggle your toes.
Yeah, I can wiggle my toes, and I'm the last person on earth that deserves that. So there's
God
a plan.
I agree with you.
The divine providence, I don't make a mistake. I'm not going to argue with it because it's benefiting me in ways I can't even imagine. But
God,
you know,
God sees you.
Yeah,
as
I feel protected. I feel blessed, and I'm very grateful for that.
I have a similar situation when I had COVID and was in the hospital for 2 weeks. As I was getting, I told a few people that I was in there, and I didn't realize they started prayer chains that equaled hundreds and hundreds of people over a 4-state area, and the medical staff said this when I was leaving. They said it to my family. They said, "I don't know how he did it. He's healed faster than any COVID patient we've had by leaps and bounds. We've had people here for months. He was out in about 12 days. And they said, we don't know how that happened, but he just made progress faster than anyone we've seen. Now, when I heard that, I thought, what's going on? And then I heard about all the prayers that were said. And I thought,
Rosary,
you know, it's funny you should say that. When you said that, it triggered a memory. I was in the hospital in the ER when it happened, and I told my son, he was there, I said, give me my phone, and I called a woman by the name of Marcy Brooks. This is a very, she's not Catholic, but she is one of the most pious women you'll ever want to meet. She's a phenomenal team leader, friend, mentor. I can't say enough about this woman. I called her and said, Marcy, I fell. I may have broken my back. Please put me on a prayer group. Within the next hour, I was on 20 different prayer groups at a minimum. I can't say enough about this one. When you said that prayer group, I was like, holy mackerel, I forgot all about that. So I want to say thank you to everybody who prayed, everybody who's praying. Keep doing it. I need the help. I want to say thank you for that. You know, because God does rain down his blessings on those who pray.
In fact,
scientists
did a little experiment years ago where there were 50 patients on a wing of a hospital that all had the same kind of problems. And they decided to take the names of 25 of them, half of them, and sent them out to prayer groups all over the country, about 2,000 prayer groups. And the patients didn't know this. They had no idea. Well, the results in a nutshell were those 25 all got well, healed, and they said faster than normal. And the other 25, many did not make it. Some died, and they took a long time. But every one of the 25 were prayed for healed faster and all got well. So there was a little scientific experiment.
That's truly remarkable, but I feel bad for those 25 dudes or patients that, you know, they didn't know. I would have said, yeah, put me on it, you know. They didn't get that benefit, but, you know, that happens. That's all divine providence.
John?
Yes.
The story is told about Bill Moyers, who was an aide to President Lyndon Johnson, and he was asked to open up the cabinet meeting with prayer one day. Well, he bowed his head and softly began praying, and LBJ stopped him and said, "Hey, I can't hear you," to which Mr. Moyers responded, "Mr. President, I wasn't talking to you."
Oh, that's good.
That sounds like LBJ,
right,
by the way, too. That's funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's another message, and this one is from Jesus to Rosa, October 27th, 1968. He says, "The heart of my mother will triumph, and my reign will come into the entire world. If you listen, you will have an abundance of graces. But if you do not listen to my word, great chastisements will come. Do not preoccupy yourselves so with material affairs. Time passes quickly and death approaches. The chastisements are drawing near." Now, that's 1968. And that's the end of that quote. Any comments?
Mm-hmm. That's something that the church is kind of, you know, because it's still a wait and see on some of these things, I'm sure. That's probably why, and I think it's important to note that just because it may not specifically be given the status of acceptance, it's still either investigation or a wait and see. And that's kind of the way a lot of people, or the church handles a lot of these, where it doesn't have a finite, where like it doesn't say, I mean, like the last times or something like that. The church doesn't know specifically. I can't say,
yeah.
Well, no one knows the day or the hour. But
right.
The warnings, are still there, and that's what we are to listen
right.
to and to be aware of.
Well, I got a thought process on that whole chastisement coming, you know, because these messages are meant for the whole world. I mean, back in Old Testament times, the messages from God to the people were to the Jews. It was God's chosen people. So any messages from God, yeah, the Gentiles kind of chimed in, but those were directly to the Jews. Messages from Mary and Jesus are to humanity. And so chastisements are coming. You better believe that. I recommend get a marketable skill set because it's going to come in handy. And it doesn't, one thing, I mean, this happened in Italy, right?
Yes.
In the country Italy. All because, I mean, this is my own personal take on it here, but when we're warned of chastisements, they're happening all over the world. So all because
right.
it might not happen in that particular location, that doesn't mean it didn't happen somewhere else.
Sure.
You know? Well, what year
yeah.
again was it? I can't see my notes.
1968. Okay. Oh, in the 60s. Yeah.
That was right after the meteor strike. So, I see the chastisements. The church has taken a beating since then, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when they say coming soon, that could be 1,000 years.
You know,
eternity's awfully long. So, you know, we don't know the actual time frame. 100 years, 50 years, 1,000 years. We don't know what soon means. But anyway, we need to hear these. Here's another one, March 21st, 1969. Mary says, "I cry so much. I have tears of blood which have been brought out by the sight of so many of my children on the brink of the pit. Pray, my dear children, in these times that are so terrible, make hours of adoration and of reparation for the serious sins that humanity is committing. In silence, you will understand. I am the mother of sorrow who goes about so much to console my children, unquote. And then she says on April 25th, she says, Jesus is all love. Jesus is all mercy. Pray, pray so that Jesus will have pity. Jesus will console your heart because the times are sad, my dear children. The demon is carrying on a great battle. He is free to do all that he wants up to the point to which the Eternal Father gave him permission. It sounds like that 100 years. I am the mother. I am the queen. I am the advocate. I am the dispenser of graces, what she said with the miraculous medal. I am the mother of the afflicted. I am the mother of consolation, and I can give everything to those who come to me, to all of them, unquote. So it's kind of neat there that she makes reference to that time frame, the devil is free to do whatever he wants to, up to the point in which the Eternal Father gave him permission. So we remember Pope Leo the 13th, who heard the conversation between Jesus and the devil, and Jesus giving the devil 100 years, roughly, to do as he pleases, with Jesus knowing that it ain't going to matter, but it has been a mess. So any comments on that?
Well, we see that all throughout the story of Job. Job in the Bible, you know, very similar story. Very.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead there, Doc.
Well, two things. When she said so many of my children standing at the edge of the pit, I actually saw that in front of me. And I saw a great pit with, they look like this terracotta soldiers. So many of them packed along the edge. And that goes with the thing that I've said in the past. There's going to be elbow room in heaven. Because so many are going down that path. You know, I just hope we can, I mean, we can reach one tonight. Just turn one around. It's all worth it. But
yeah, amen to that.
You know,
yeah.
The other thing was the last one, and explaining that, it jumped out of my head. What was that last part that she said?
Okay, hold on. I'll read that to you. She says, I am the mother, I am the queen, I am the advocate, I am the dispenser of graces, I am the mother of the afflicted, I am the mother of consolation, and I can give everything to those who come to me. To all of them.
So basically, the two together is saying, look, y'all, the devil's got a green light to do whatever he wants for, you said 100 years, okay, 100 years. But if y'all come and hang with me, he can't touch you. And I actually seen a meme on YouTube, one of them videos, where this guy comes in the room and he's got devil written as a name tag, and he says, I'm going down to earth and I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And then he flashed over to the other guy and had God, same dude, God on his name tag, and said, yeah, okay, go ahead. And, you know, the devil's like, you really don't care? He says, no, it don't really matter what you do. Anything you do, I can fix with a thought. So go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, boom. And it basically left for all his power, for all his, I mean, the line from Harry Potter was the best. You know, he who must not be named did great things. Evil, yes, but great. For all of that that Satan has, he has nothing. It can be washed away with a thought.
Yep.
I kind of take comfort in that.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good point. I like that.
And that it's out there in secular world, I think that's also something to take note, that more people are starting to realize that, and there's an awakening happening. And, you know, so long as we keep doing this and showing what the Catholic faith is really about, away from the fetters of the secular media and the government and every and all the trash that they throw at us, show us what the faith really is, they'll see that their thought processes are in alignment with that, and they'll come home.
Good point.
Good.
All right, man. That's great.
What do you think Kathy? What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Kathy?
I think we can see everything that's going on in the church right now and how the hierarchy part of it is not really concerned with the souls of us, the church. And I think you could say that's the chastisement right there. The beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Amen to that. Colton Sheen said that the laity is going to save the church, not the priesthood. You know, I think Ronald Reagan said it best, and you can apply it to the church. Government isn't going to fix the problem. Government is the problem. In a large case, we got problems in the government of the church, and the laity have to fix that. We have priests that, you know, I've been to homilies where we had to recatechize our children afterwards because what that priest was saying was heresy, straight up. And I confronted a couple of them, and they didn't like it, but you know what? I showed them right there. What you just said goes against church teaching. You need to check yourself, Father. You can't allow that. You know, you can't allow that. No, that because most people, they go through the catechism when they're kids. Most people have read the catechism when you went through that class. And they put it down, and they rarely look at it again. And the same thing with the Bible. Most Catholics, I could pull 20 Catholics off the street and ask them 10 basic questions about the faith, and I would lay $100 down that they would get over 70% wrong. And we as Catholics, especially the men, God, just because I thought, you boys need to grow a pair, grow a spine, read the books, learn what it means to be Catholic, ask questions. And when you hear something that goes against the grain of it, ask the question. Stop right there. No, we can't have this. It says this. Explain yourself. Hold them to the fire. And if they won't do it, take your funds elsewhere. Give your money to a real charity, a food charity, or something like that. And I guarantee you, we can fix it.
John,
we
had a similar experience.
A little bit. Go ahead, there.
Go ahead,
Kathy.
We had a similar experience in our church. We had a priest that was very uncatechized himself, and he was given his homily, and he said something in error. And one of the men spoke up right then and there, and he said, "That's not right, Father. What you're preaching is not according to your faith." And our priest, he just didn't know. And he said, "Any of you, feel free to tell me if I'm in error, and I'll correct it." And he did not hold it against him. He became a better and better priest. The entire time, he became a better priest.
Sadly, the priest in question in my comment left the church. He is now in a same-sex marriage, if you want to call that. But he's no longer a priest. He no longer has faculties. I'm glad he doesn't, but I wish he would have amended his ways and come to Mother Church and lived through this time in his life. And he would, he could have, because of the insights of the evils that he's facing, he could have become a much more powerful priest. But he chose that pit. You see, Yep. That's what he chose. If you see it, you own it. That's a line we used to say on the oil rig regarding the safety. If you see something unsafe, you own that. Anybody hurt because
but
of
you
that
know,
is your own.
Think about so. This. What this is what Our Lady says here. As in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Eternal Father was most merciful until his mercy could no longer be contained. So will it be for those who partake in the abominable acts of what you call upon earth homosexuality. It is an abomination in the eyes of the Eternal Father. Parents must guard their children, even from their teachers. Now, you know, many are now direct agents of hell, though they walk in human bodies. Protect your children with their sacramentals. Teach them. My children, I ask you, please, I call you my children because I have looked down upon earth for many years, and I feel that I have a firm attachment to the souls upon earth. Well, she loves us as our mother. Wow. But and think about, and this goes back to what Mary warned about the church of our time 400 years ago from Latin America. I mean, she had it right on the, I mean, the dot. And it's sad.
Well, that's what, you know, when she talks about protecting your children, that's why I had to pull my sons out of scouting. They would have been Eagle Scouts. But, you know, when the scout management caved in and allowed, you know, openly homosexuals to camp with little boys, I had a problem with that. And the irritation of sin and all. I'm not saying that they would do it intentionally, but, you know, it's an irritation of sin, and you must avoid that. So we pulled our boys out of scouting. There's a son. Oh, man, I can't remember it. There's an alternative, and I forgive the guy. He's a commentator. He does a YouTube. A very, very well-respected Catholic. He, Sons of St. George, that's what it is. He opened an alternative to scouting called Sons of St. George. It's an all-Catholic, must have a priest. Latin Mass will be done at all of their facilities. And I recommend anybody involved, like I said before, it only stops when the men say we've had enough. And this is an all-Catholic group. Sons of St. George, they're national. I recommend you check them out. You know, to protect the children. Amen to that.
All right. Well, here's the
rosary.
Yes, on May 8th, 1969, Mary says, I want you to hold your rosary beads in your hands. This rosary is the secure port of your salvation. For this I have come upon the earth. I want everyone to recite the Holy Rosary, which is the most powerful weapon for saving yourselves, for receiving graces, and for obtaining comfort during the sad hours. Hold the Holy Rosary beads tightly in your hand and put them around your neck and don't forget them.
How many times have you heard me say that when you hold the hand, when you hold the rosary in your hand, it's like you're holding Our Lady's hand? You know, that's
right. Exactly.
Yeah,
and she says, if you have Jesus in your heart and your weapon, the rosary in your hands, I will not abandon you. I will always help you and give you strength to win every battle. Yeah. So, Doc, when you pray that rosary every day, you may not feel worthy at times, but you are eliciting the most power from heaven that you can, and for your family and for your life and for your health. So why be surprised that your healing is going so well?
Yeah. Well, I do have to share something. I have post-traumatic stress. And my triggers a lot of times are well, they're just unique because my post-traumatic stress doesn't, I mean, I have the combat ones, but they're mostly from my medical career. Like I can't wear a mask. I wear a mask and I relive a lot of situations I don't want to do.
Sure.
One day, a couple years ago, I was sitting there praying the rosary. I had this nice wooden bead rosary. I have several rosaries. I was praying the rosary, and I had it caused a trigger event where I, to this lady that I responded to, she was DOA. She had a rosary in her hand, and there was incense in the room, and they wanted me to just snatch the body up and take her and process her and, you know, toe tag in the freezer, there you go. But I stopped and I contacted the family. I said, do you want a priest to come? And they looked at me and they said, oh my God, yes. I said, okay, we'll get it done. And I mean, this happened years ago, but I was in that room there. I could smell I could taste the air, and I haven't been able to hold a rosary since. But when I pray the rosary, I use my fingers, and I'm very careful. I've got it broke down into fives, basically. I do the decades from pinky to pinky. I do the first set of prayers with the five on one hand and five on the other. And when we do it as a family, my wife is sitting there with the beads in case my mind wanders, which it does from time to time. So if I go off track or I pray too many, she catches me. And yeah, we worked it out to a good system. But, you know, I mean, I've got them. I see them, and I don't know, but it's weird. I don't know how to explain it.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
I have a sort of similar story. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kathy.
I have sort of a similar, it's like a trigger thing. When I was 8 years old, my favorite grandma in the whole world had gotten lung cancer, and she was dying quickly from it. And she kept having these episodes where she couldn't breathe, and she would panic, and it, you know, was happening in front of me as a child, and I saw her essentially suffocate to death. And so when somebody tries to put a mask on me, even if there's a blanket on my mouth or anything on my mouth, it triggers me and I'm suffocating to death, you know. So.
Yeah, it ain't happening, right? I'm with you, girl. Yeah. It ain't happening. You know,
no, I had to go to the hospital because I broke my ribs. And so, you know, you can't breathe. And they started telling me how to wear a mask, and I said, I'll not wear it. They put it on my face. I was sucking it in so far because it was almost to the back of my throat because I was hyperventilating and getting – I was having an anxiety attack. And they said – they took my oxygen levels. It was 107. And they said – What is your wrong? And I said, get this damn mask off my face because I'm going to die. So they said, told me, just take it off.
During the height of COVID, I had chest pain so bad. It went up into my jaw, down both arms. I was nauseous, sweating. I called the hospital, told them what was going on. They said, we'll send an ambulance. I said, I can't wear a mask. And they said, what? I said, I can't wear a mask. They said, we can't see you. The VA hospital, I still can't go into a VA hospital. I'm 100% disabled. They won't let me in the door because I can't wear a mask. I said my prayers and went to bed. I mean, you can try and put one on my face, but I can guarantee you I ain't gonna stay there. You're going to have to, you know, and they said, well, we can drug you. Well, what good is that? How am I going to drive home? You know, I mean, no, that's ridiculous. You know, and you know, I can't do it, won't do it. I recently realized I had a rib out of place, but I didn't know it was, I was having chest pain right over my heart. It wouldn't go away. It was getting steadily worse. I went to the, I called them, and they said you had to wear a mask. And I told them what was going on, and I said, well, I'm going to go to bed then. And she said, hold on. She said, no, you don't have to wear a mask. Come on. And I did, and they didn't make me, thank God. And they did all the tests, and they come up negative, and I stretched, and the rib popped back in place. But I know it's not going to – it's not a matter – you know, I'm not going to relive that. And if it means I got to go, then that's what I – you know, that's the plan the good Lord has given me. You know, and, you know, I had a relative actually said, you know, you should swallow your pride. It's not about pride. You know, it's not go. You know, I do it in a heartbeat. I mean, I can wear. I would get a thing for the step for the church here in Clarksville. I spray a polyurethane on it with an air gun. I wore a respirator for that, no problem. You see, so it's not having something over my face. You know, if there's a reason for it, I can do that, but my intellect will not allow me to make the reason for this because I know the specifics of personal protection equipment and the specifics of an airborne virus, and what they said about masks is a flat-out lie. Basically, yeah, you're dropping a grain of sand, which is a grain of sand, which is an airborne virus, into the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is the opening of the, in your mask that grain of sand is going to go through. You cannot, those paper masks do nothing to stop an airborne virus. I have a full beard. You need it to stop an airborne virus. You need an airtight seal, first off. An N59 works on bacteria. It doesn't even work on viruses. And you need it to be fit tested for that. You know, so the whole, it doesn't compute, I guess is the best way to say it. So when I'm sitting there knowing it doesn't compute, my mind triggers and I go to that kid that drowned or that woman that went into labor and had a breech baby with the cord tied around the neck or the kid who was playing sword fight with his daddy and stabbed him through the stomach with a rapier sword or any number of 1,000 other calls that I don't want to live through again. You know, so I'm
all
not
right.
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
you're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
All right. Well, we're about out of time. Okay. I want to read one more message, and then we'll say our worldwide rosary. I mean, Hail Mary. This last one was on August 15th, 1969. And Mary says, here, near you, I am surrounded by angels, the saints, and with all your guardian angels. Be serene, my dear children. Pray, 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 just like Fatima. And be quiet because the enemy is working havoc. The fights are becoming hard, but you will obtain the victory in everything and through everything because I am the mother and co-redemptrix of everyone. Pray for all young people so they can blossom in the world and be the model, the example like Jesus was when he was on this earth. I love young people very much. Even my son Jesus was surrounded by young people whom he loved very much. Upon them I am showering many graces, many blessings, and much love and peace for their hearts. Young people, come under my mantle. Draw near to me because I am the mother of everyone, mother of love and of counsel. I am the advocate, the dispenser of graces, and I love you very much, unquote. So that was a beautiful, really nice message, and we'll end with that one tonight. We ask everyone out there to join with me in saying a Hail Mary, because all of our voices around the world, no matter what time zone, what country you're in, what island in the ocean you're on, it doesn't matter. All these voices will rise to heaven in unison, saying this Hail Mary. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And Kathy, you want to say the Latin one?
Yeah, Kathy,
Nomine Patri Filii Spiritus Sancti, Pater Noster qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in temptationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et impera saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen. I love that.
And we will continue. Next week we'll continue more messages.
Blessed Mother, we pray to thee. Thanks for the miracle of your rosary. Only you can hold back your holy son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Now and at the hour of our death, and thanks once again for the miracle of your rosary.
Kathy, do you know who that was that sung that? That was Elvis. That is right. Hey, that's cool.
That is cool. I didn't know he sang a song, that song I listened to a long time ago, but I ain't heard it for a long time, so thank you for playing it.
Well, I like to play that a lot, especially when we're talking about the rosary. So God bless you all, and we will see you tomorrow night with Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles. So this is good. God bless you all. Good night, everybody.
Good night.